So item 24 is for the spill that we've heard a little bit about. That was a discrete incident, 20,000-gallon spill. The complaint that the prosecution staff issued was for $40,000. Initially, California Men's Colony was going to contest that. They decided to not contest it and to settle up for the full amount, and I accepted that. So we don't have a hearing on that today. The matter is settled. However, we said we would accept public comment. And before we accept or get to public comments, and also in light of the past discussion, which mentioned marine protected areas, for example, in other instances in the state, there haven't been many instances of spills to specially designated areas. One that I was aware of was in the San Diego region, where there was a spill. I think it was Buena Vista Lagoon, if I remember right. And actually, the regional board down there took up three different spills that were happened in a short period of time, so they took them as in one complaint. The Buena Vista Lagoon is a designated fish and game reserve, so it is a designated area as far as marine area. And in that instance, they found that two of the spills, the discharger was, of course, culpable for them, but that they weren't considered to be preventable. And so the regional board assessed 10 cents per gallon. In the third instance, the regional board found that there was some negligence or there was some ability to have prevented the spill, and so they assigned a factor of $1 per gallon in that instance. So 10 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon. And in this case, the amount per gallon is $2 per gallon. So it's twice and 20 times the amount for the one case that I was aware of where there was a spill to a designated marine area, just for context.
Okay.
Another factor here was that there was, Dan Berman mentioned this earlier in terms of the severity of something like a toxic compound like chlorine compared to a sewage spill, and he mentioned the fact that a lot of times when they do happen, unfortunately, but when they do happen, they're as a result of high flows, both in the collection system as well as in the creeks. And this was during a time of very high flows. Of course, that doesn't excuse the spill, but in terms of impacts on the receiving water, it is a saving grace. The bacteria samples taken upstream and downstream were basically the same.
Okay.
So those were considerations that I made in accepting the settlement.
All right. Are we going to go to our cards?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to provide that context.
And who is this?
Case Cliff? I don't know.
Yeah. Case Cliff? Okay. Bruce Payne and Dr. Mary Fullwood, my two speakers for this item. And Mr. Barrow, yes, did ask to speak on it. Mr. Barrow, do you want to? You're closest to the microphone.
Right.
If Mr. Payne will go ahead.
Sound device. Thank you very much. My name is Al Barrow. First of all, Corollo Engineering were the people who designed this plant. There's usually a 2-year responsibility period for them, and I think the state should go after them for their errors and omissions on this spill and on the fact that they didn't design the system properly and it's inadequate design. I keep hearing that. Prior jail time was for one of the operators for not reporting. They don't have a very good track record here. I see, for example, my community got a $6.6 million ACL. And you're talking $40,000 here. I don't see a level playing field on this. I think you're sending a message to some people that some people can violate and, you know, slap around the wrist. Other people are going to really get seriously hurt. So I wondered about that. I mean, we're talking here about carcinogens and mutagens and all kinds of stuff that are going down into the creek here. And these are serious things. I don't know if you have any history of looking at what the impacts to fish and wildlife is, but the animal kingdom suffers greatly for this. And so I think you really have to really consider, is $40,000 a fine that rings fair and true? I just don't understand it. Why don't they have a pond retention plan? Why don't they have a safety plan? Even in the Los Osos prior plan, Montgomery Watson had a storage bowl, you know, in case of wet weather flow. And you just mentioned, well, gee, it was wet weather flow. It's not their fault. No, they have to design it for wet weather flow. They didn't do that. Corollo Engineering has a hand in this and the responsibility because they designed this and they under-designed it. They didn't design it right. And they keep repeating their violations. So I have to say that this is really inadequate because of the nature and the location, particularly of where these spills are going out. And that's a very polluted area right there. That whole basin down there, Chorro Creek, has very high nitrogen. I mean, sometimes 70 milligrams per liter. It's really incredibly polluted. So I would ask that you maybe make some additional requirements in addition to the fine, not just the fine, but getting the technology there that prevents the pollution of our environment, which is the whole purpose of this board. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Payne?
Good afternoon again. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. He brought out the point that we got a $6.5 million ACL fine against three units that were permitted and operating as for many, many years as they were designed and permitted to run. And that fine was put on the homeowners, I guess, if it ever comes to a settlement that we're going to have to pay it, that will have to be added to the tax bill of the homeowners that are discharging into those units, which will be about $30,000 a house. When you talk about the whole state being liable to pay this minimal fine that you're talking about here, you got how many million people in the state paying taxes? Let's look at a little equality on these sort of things. One of the other things that I didn't get to mention, the fact that you look at all the data that goes into this stuff. You have to look at every point of it. And when I brought up the fact that one particular well was not the only one that had a contaminated sample. There was a half a dozen more that had asterisks after them on that same 1 month before the ACL fine hearing. And after the prosecution team was informed that they retested that well and it tested way below the 52 milligrams per liter, right down in the area where it always did test, which is the way nitrogen works. It's a few milligrams one way or the other, depending on how much rain we've had and other things. Right now, we're not having any rain, and the nitrogen is dropping way down, which is a pretty good reason to believe that it's not coming from septic tanks totally. So the point being that to get back to the prosecution team, using that same data that they used for the ACL fine hearing, they used the same data, even though the well had been retested, for the CDO hearing, which showed way high milligrams per liter. And now, and also they claim the nitrates are still increasing. They're not. Since the wells were re-drilled and sealed properly, the nitrates are coming down. And also, Dr. Wickham told you about the soot from the power plant. That's nitrous oxide, NOx. That's readily soluble and goes right into the groundwater. They've quit blowing so much soot out of that now, so the nitrates are dropping in our groundwater. This is data that you need to. It was given to you in the hearing. Dr. Wickham and Dr. Press had a very good discussion on microbes and how they work.
Mr. Payne. This had nothing to do with the item before us, with the men's colony, but I gave you time to talk to us about it. Thank you very much.
I believe it was prosecution that I was talking about.
Not about the California men's colony. You weren't talking about that. You were talking about something else. I let it go.
Barrow has already told you that's the same company that the county has hired to replan the Tri-W site for you.
Thank you for your comments.
You're welcome.
Dr. Fullwood?
My name is Dr. Fullwood, the Los Osos representative for the San Luis Bay chapter of Surfrider Foundation and the Sierra Club representative for the Marine Interest Group. On March 7th, 2008, members of SLB Surfrider and SL Sierra Club toured the new California Men's Colony wastewater treatment plant. During the tour, we learned that the spill was not only caused by the failure of the backup generator, but from inflow infiltration into the older collection pipes during the large storm event overloading the system. As an aside, let's note that the successful diversion of an additional 200,000 gallons of sewage was made possible by the existence of the old treatment plant, an option, I point out, that would not be available to contain a spill of the same size heading into the same area of the estuary should it originate from a sewer plant of the same type built on the Tri-W site in Los Osos. The CMC must be held accountable for the spill that has impacted the Morro Bay National Estuary, a newly designated state marine reserve, and part of the accountability should be repairing or replacing the old pipes so spills will be prevented in the future. I also encourage you to take action on the Sierra Club suggestions. They submitted a letter to you, I believe, well, it should be with you, a couple days ago. That the Regional Water Board explore with the Department of Fish and Game the formation of an interagency enforcement project to protect the Morro Bay State Marine Reserve as an area of mutual concern, and that you recommend to the State Board that a state water quality protection area be created as an overlay for state marine reserves. These would be useful, necessary first steps towards establishing guidelines and assessing liability of dischargers when a marine protected area is involved. Thank you. And also, Dr. Press, thank you for your service.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, that concludes our public comment on the... Okay, come on up, Mr. Ricano.
The reason I'm here today.
Okay, come on up.
Thank you.
Honorable board members, Joey Ricano, director, California Ocean Outfall Group, dedicated to ending waivers of the Clean Water Act. I think it's of paramount importance here that what we are doing is we're making history right now. This is historic. What a prosecution here would do would be something no one's ever done before. Now, I know nobody likes to set a precedent. However, here we are on the cutting edge of history. You are the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board, Region 3, and you are the only regulatory agency that is charged with regulating water quality. The Marine Life Protection Act is what makes this a different violation than anything that has happened before. On September 21st of 2007, the State Marine Reserve took effect in Morro Bay East Estuary, and this sewage spill took place on January 27th at 4:10 p.m. It was a Sunday. Now, I don't really care why it happened. That's irrelevant. It happened. And it's when it happened. It happened after the marine protected area began to be enforced. And I think that the most clear way I could put it right now is that there's a lot of arguing going on right now, and it's to be understood that what is a marine protected area? It's a different levels of protection, a state marine reserve, a state marine recreation management area, a state marine conservation area, et al. It doesn't matter what you can do to any different level of a marine protected area. It doesn't matter what you can't do to a marine protected area. What is in question is if we act a certain way Are we or are we not likely to meet the goals set forth in the Marine Life Protection Act? I think that you'll find in the future that marine protected areas and their designations are subjective. I don't believe that the same can be said or will ever be able to be said about the goals set forth in the Marine Life Protection Act. If you allow the California Men's Colony to continue acting with impunity, this time it was on purpose, that time it wasn't on purpose, this time we meant it, that time we didn't mean it, we are not likely to meet those goals. I conclude by asking you to embrace your serendipitous responsibility and set the precedent against the California Marine, California Men's Colony, and be the first enforcement ever of a marine protected area. And I believe that it will ring statewide. And I thank you for this opportunity to address you.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, that does conclude our speakers.
Can I answer a couple of
course.
Comments, please? Maybe I'll go in reverse order here. I mentioned the comparison with the only other instance I could find as far as some kind of a marine designated area for protection. And I should point out that that was in the San Diego region. The San Diego region actually has a reputation for cracking down on spills and being as aggressive, I think, as any region in the state in terms of spills. And as I pointed out here, the comparable penalty in this settlement is 20 times the amount per gallon in that case. As far as the Sierra Clubs and Dr. Fullwood's suggestion to have another designation made, I don't think the problem is designations. Morro Bay is a state-designated state estuary, which, by the way, was prompted by one of our board members, Dr. Bill Newman, before there was ever a national estuary designation. It's a in the National Estuary Program. It's a marine protected area. It's a state marine reserve in parts. It's a state marine recreation management area in parts. It's a critical coastal area. So we have designations. I don't think another designation is what we need. And we've talked about what, and Dan talked about getting to the real solutions. I think that's the main point. Also, Mr. Barrow mentioned ponds and preventing the discharge, I gather. And I mentioned earlier today about the fact that the NPDES permit requirements are more difficult to meet, and it might beg the question of why would you want a permit? And and I mentioned the city of San Luis Obispo as well as having some similar problems meeting very tight limits. And there are other similarities here in that both CMC and the city of San Luis Obispo actually wanted to remove their discharge from their receiving waters. CMC recycles water with Cal Poly and maybe others, I'm not sure, and they actually wanted to recycle 100% of their water, but due to a requirement from Fish and Game, they've got to maintain a minimum of 0.75 CFS to the creek because Fish and Game wants the water in the creek for habitat purposes. That was in their letter. City of San Luis Obispo was in the same boat. When they started their recycling project, they were interested in removing their discharge from the creek, and they ran into the same problem of maintaining a minimum flow to the creek for habitat purposes. So they don't have the leeway that you might think they would have to just eliminate their discharge from the creek unless something changes along those lines. I guess that's all I wanted to point out as far as responding to those comments.
Chair Young, can
okay.
I?
He was
answering me back. All I wanted to say was,
you know, just to clarify, this is not a hearing because this is an informational item.
Right, I understand. I just, Ms. Chesney, I just wanted to mention that as far as San Diego goes, who is so crackdowny, They are the last holders of a 301H waiver, and they are dumping primary sewage off Point Loma. And as far as the Marine... One moment, ma'am. As far as the Marine Life Protection Act, you are dreaming, Mr. Briggs, if you think this has ever had a precedent. You are wrong, and Governor Schwarzenegger disagrees with you.
Any other board comments, questions on this?
I have a couple questions and comments. Let's see where to start. The Sierra Club, there are a couple things that came out of the Sierra Club letter. In addition to the proposing a new water quality designation, and I think the point there is not that we lack designation and protection, but that it may give us a more focused or a stronger link to enforcement of water quality impacts. And so I think that's behind Sierra Club's intent.
Where are you reading from? In their letter.
In their letter?
Yeah.
On the second page, okay. In the fourth paragraph from the
In April
bottom.
Of this year?
No, it starts, to that end, we recommend that the Water Board establish a state water quality protection area as an overlay for state marine reserves. This would be allowable multiple complementary designations. They acknowledge the critical coastal area and that this would be stronger guidelines and protocols to add violation of marine protected areas a factor to consider. So they are thinking about how to get at violations. In terms of that program. I also wanted to call out that in that letter they note, and I think this is for future for staff, that they feel that the description as presented in the report that Churro Creek empties into the Morro Bay in an area recently designated State Marine Recreational Management Area, they suggest that you, and I think Mr. Ricano's report also suggests that the Slow Sea Program, which is based at Cal Poly, according to the information they have, the Churro Creek actually discharges directly into the marine protected area, into the state marine reserve. So that may be something we want to correct if that is true. So I don't know if there is a discrepancy there that we should be using a more correct or more appropriate description. I think what Mary Fullwood also referred to the Marine Interest Group. I think there's a number of efforts going on to really understand, to comprehend the value of the Marine Protected Area and the effort that went into putting that, designing that program, identifying the locations that need protection. And now we are the first to implement those programs. And the rest of the state is in the process of conducting the same effort we went to in designing their marine protected areas. Morro Bay also is one place where we are actually monitoring water quality, and that's through the efforts of Cal Poly through the Slow Sea Program. So there is, I think, good reason to consider ways in which the regional board can do its part in terms of considering the not just the implementation of this program, but in the long term coordination across agencies. And as I mentioned, Fish and Game is kind of stuck without authority over water quality violations directly. There may be other ways in which they can address and respond to these problems. I think right now what I'm hearing is they don't want to step on regional boards' process here in terms of this particular incident. But I think we need to be aware that what we do today will be considered in terms of what our options are in enforcing and protecting a habitat-based program. That's the whole idea of the Marine Life Protection Act, is to restore and enhance critical habitat.
I think we understand that. Do you suggest that the $40,000 proposed penalty is inadequate?
It's a settled matter.
It's a settled amount. There's no action.
There's no action on that. I think.
But is that your sense that is an inadequate settlement amount?
Well, I don't. I think that it is a small amount when you consider some of the violations that have occurred in this region and how we've addressed them. I think what I'm more interested in is in considering how future spills, because clearly we will be seeing events of this type. If what Dr. Fullwood suggested in her comments, and I don't know if maybe staff wants to comment on that, is that there are some inadequacies in the design of this plant. She mentioned that they took a tour and that they found that there were problems between old infrastructure that's still functioning as part of the new plant system. And if that is a defect in the design, and if we're going to see during rainy events, we're going to see the new plant overwhelmed, and we're going to see this level of spill and this type of problem occur, then that's something we should understand. We should anticipate that we're going to have more action to take in regard to future spills, and we want to consider then.
Well, but then we will have that opportunity, should those events arise,
well,
that we're going to be revisiting this if the operator is not able to get their plant under control.
I agree. I just want to emphasize to staff that there is a new program. There is no other authority to enforce water quality violations, and that I want to understand that we are either working with Fish and Game to establish, as Sierra Club is suggesting, that we have to do something cooperatively or collaboratively or more formally with Fish and Game in order to bring an appropriate level of enforcement on violations in marine protected areas. That's what I'm asking for. And so I'm using the Sierra Club's comments to bring that emphasis into our discussion today.
Okay. Well, we've got the settlement before us to deal with, and then, you know, our comments to staff, you know, go without any conditions.
Mm-hmm.
They hear what we say, and they take that up, and they act appropriately.
I thought we didn't have to.
There's no action on the settlement. It's already settled. This is only an informational item. Yeah.
But that being said, it is an opportunity to let me know if I'm messed up or I should take messages going forward. And to that point, as I talked about before, we'll add reporting, which would include Fish and Game, and that would certainly open up that dialogue in terms of, okay, here's a an incident, whether it's a spill or a violation or whatever, that is to an area that you might be more interested in. And we have welcomed joint enforcement actions with Fish and Game in the past. We've actually asked for them to join in sometimes when they've declined. And we also work with the local enforcement task force, which includes the district attorney and Fish and Game and OSPR and those folks. So we have those opportunities, and I think we have to, and the prosecution team is listening, take advantage of those opportunities where there's a chance for multiple agency coordination on enforcement actions and capitalize on those.
I would like to encourage that.
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Okay. That go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to anyway. On this same issue with the Fish and Game, I have some questions, and, you know, staff doesn't have to answer them, but I just think there's some things we need to think about. And first of all, sure, you know, Morro Bay is an example, but we have them all up and down our region, marine reserve, state marine reserves. And I hope if staff works with Fish and Game and the local district attorney that they're also working with those same people in, you know, Monterey and Santa Barbara and not just here in San Luis Obispo. The other thing is, in the last paragraph on the first page of the Sierra Club's letter, they keep talking about state marine reserve violations, and I don't think that they mean by that exactly. Generally, from what I understand, a marine reserve violation is someone pulling fish out when they're not supposed to be or doing some sort of extractive action. I'm not aware that there's water quality issues written into the state, the act, the Marine
Protection Act.
Life Protection.
Thank you, thank you. Marine Life Protection Act. And certainly, if there are water quality violations, we have control over that. And if there's an implication, which I think that's what this is really about, or what I think we can do, is that if there is some sort of excursion into one of these protected areas, that possibly we can use that as a tool to increase penalties. I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Wouldn't that have been a factor?
Yeah, I was going to add to that the way that you address that it's a marine reserve is that the factors under the water code for considering the amount of the penalty take into account the impact and the receiving water. And in fact, Mr. Briggs mentioned that in his discussion of why he settled this was because at the time this occurred, there didn't appear to be a significant impact, but there could be in another spill, and then that would be important to take into account, and the fact that it's a protected area would be factored in to the amount.
I would just maybe echo something that Roger was saying in response to Mr. Ricano. I wouldn't want to go too far down the road of enforcing more stringently with marine protected areas and not so with others. The danger is that you start treating bodies of the United States differently when, in fact, we really should be upholding the highest standards for all of them. A marine protected area stops, and then 5 yards away, there's a not marine protected area. But functionally, biologically, it's the same damn thing. So I wouldn't want to go push this too far, because then would you want to have a precedent, a culture, and a kind of a habit of looking first to see if there's an MPA in there and going to a higher enforcement, and if there's not, going to a lower enforcement? I'd want to be pretty stringent all the time.
Well, just to add one more piece to that picture, because I agree, we need to protect our coastal areas. Many of the MPAs receive discharge from coastal streams, so the linkage is going to be there probably a lot. But specifically with the MPAs, these were, and similar, the critical coastal area designation. These areas were selected because they provide a critical type of habitat. So the boundaries that were established were done through a political process, but there was science involved. And so that it is a habitat-based program. So there is this linkage of habitat up and down the state that is part of this process of considering where to put those designations. So it does enter into, I think, determining the impacts. If you have discharge into not a marine protected area versus a marine protected area, you do have more critical habitat concerns, which have already been identified as linked to threatened species, marine species of some type or another. So that process is, in a very rigorous science ecosystem fashion, has designated points on the coast that have something to contribute to restoring the fisheries. So that's why I think there
But you said it,
Dr. Hunter,
it's a political process. It's a very political process. And there's not a biologist worth their weight, their salt, or you know, worth anything who will tell you that they got everything they ought to have, because if you really push them, they say the whole damn coast should be marine protected area. So makes me cringe when we have these hierarchies of this is really, really good coastline, and that's good coastline. So I just wouldn't want to push that too far.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comments on this item?
Yes, I wanted to comment to be sure the minutes show that Mr. Hayashi didn't participate.
Okay.
Even though it's not an action item. It's
that completes this item. Okay, thank you. We can move on to the